If you're a pastor, elder, deacon, nonprofit, board member, or business owner, I need you to listen to this. K&K Furnishings needs to be on your short list. K&K Furnishings are committed to helping you find the right furnishings for your church or organization. These guys specialize in quality worship seating, welcome centers, cafes, nurseries, classrooms, as well as stage and podium furnishings. The two owners have over 70 years of combined pastoral experience, so not only will every transaction be handled with integrity and professionalism, but they have the experience to provide you with the perfect solutions for your furniture needs, and they absolutely understand your budget constraints and demands. K&K Furnishings are devoted to providing you quality pieces that save you money. They can do this because they don't have the overhead of a brick and mortar store, and they have relationships with over 200 manufacturers nationwide. Look, we all know there's a lot of junk out there. K&K understands that many times bargains aren't true money savers. They end up costing you more in the long run. At K&K, they believe that quality furnishings don't have to be outrageously expensive. And here's the best part. K&K Furnishings sells nationally and can also provide in-person consultations in Michigan, Ohio, and Indiana. If you can't meet in person, they'd be happy to set up a Zoom consultation for you today. So whatever your next project is, whether it's your home office or your church sanctuary, K&K Furnishings is the only place you need to look. Go to www.kkfurnishings.com to see how they can help you, or call 567-318-4520. That's www.kkfurnishings.com, or call 567-318-4520, or click on the link in the description of this episode. K&K Furnishings, furnishing business, education, worship, and hospitality for the glory of God. Hey guys, before we get into this week's episode, I gotta tell you about Jacob's Supply. Jacob's Supply is the place you gotta go for all of your material needs. These guys bring you construction supplies and appliances for up to 50% off retail price, all brand new. You a home builder? Need some lumber? Jacob's Supply has you covered. You a deacon at your church and you're in charge of that next Narthex floor job? Jacob's Supply has got you. Heck, they got Cortec Luxury Vinyl Plank right now for $3.59 a square foot. Go look that stuff up at Lowe's or Home Depot, man. That stuff is selling for $7 to $8 a square foot. That's over 50% off retail. Even if you just have some home projects you're working on, Jacob's Supply is the place for you. I just built an outdoor grilling area this spring for that old smoker and grill. Guess where I got the metal roof, lumber, and screws? Yeah, that's right, Jacob's Supply. Looking for a fridge, stove, washer, dryer? They got them all, and they're name brand. Samsung, Bosch, Frigidaire, all 20, 30, 40% off retail. Brand new and ready for you. Located in Temperance, Michigan, it's worth it to stop by even if you're a few hours away. And remember, Jacob's Supply can ship products nationally too. So even if you're out of state, you got to check them out. Follow them on Facebook at Jacob's Supply or call them direct at 734-224-0978. That's 734-224-0978. Remember, Jacob's Supply, quality building materials at wholesale prices. And now, on to the show. Here we go. Exploring theology, doctrine, and all of the fascinating subjects in between, broadcasting from an undisclosed location, Dead Men Walking starts
now.
Well, hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Dead Men Walking Podcast. I'm your host, Greg. I'm here in studio with John. I'm also with the infamous Keith Foskey. I was going to say you're Calvinist, but did we do a name change on the podcast there, Keith? What's going on with that?
Well, the podcast is Conversations with a Calvinist, but I'm going to be transitioning to simply the Your Calvinist podcast, because I've been signing off the podcast for 3 years. I'm Keith Foskey and I'm Your Calvinist. And so to simplify the name and sort of bring everything under one banner, because on Twitter, I'm Your Calvinist, and sometimes people don't connect Conversations with a Calvinist with that. So now it's just going to be the Your Calvinist podcast with Keith Foskey. So
look at that.
That hasn't happened yet.
30 seconds into the show, and we're already announcing breaking news, the rebranding of Keith Foskey. Awesome. But yeah, guys, thanks for checking us out at dmwpodcast.com, Dead Men Walking Podcast everywhere on social, except for Twitter, which is Real DMW Podcast. X won't give me the right handle, but John's in studio. John, you might have heard his voice down at some of the Fight Laugh Feast stuff. He was on for the Bible Draw, and he's been hanging out and wanted to have him in here. You were on the show before, right, John?
Yeah, about a year ago.
About a year ago. I said that like I didn't remember. Like, right? No, I remembered. Your name is John, right?
Correct.
I have known John a long time though, but so we had to have Keith on, we had to have John on because we did a program, like I said, about a year ago with John, and we talked a little bit about conspiracy theories, right?
Correct.
And it was crazy popular. You know, I get these guys on here to talk about this intricate theological stuff, and you know, you get the James Whites and the Doug Wilsons and the Chris Lawsons and the Sam Storms and all these guys, and then you talk about Bigfoot and your numbers go through the roof. And that's what the people want. So that's what they're going to get. And we're aptly naming this Conversations with a Conspiracy Theorist in homage to our buddy Keith Foskey. So we're stealing that. And I think what we want to do is we just want to roll around conspiracy theories.
Way too early.
For conspiracy theories. It's like, hey, you guys want to talk about conspiracies? Let's meet at 10 a.m.
Those happen at night. They don't happen this early.
Right. All conspiracies happen after 2 a.m. in the morning. But what we wanted to do is I said, you know, bring two that, I don't know, that you kind of think could be true or that you've rolled around in your head, and then bring one that's just absolutely insane to you and you don't think has any bearing in fact at all. And I just thought maybe we could just go around, kind of talk about them. There is some stuff in conspiracy theories that can be true. In fact, since 2020, we saw a lot of those crazy conspiracy theorists actually get proven true, right? You were a conspiracy theory if you thought the virus was created in the Wuhan lab, and lo and behold, that, you know, that turns out to be true. You thought, you know, there's a bunch of stuff about Fauci that is now turning out to be true. So there was a lot of stuff in that time that, you know, I saw a meme and it's like,
there's no conspiracies left.
I know there's no conspiracy theories.
According to the mainstream media, though, those are still conspiracies.
You're right. Oh yeah. But, they've been proven over and over. So, about these. Yeah, go ahead, Keith.
I was just going to say it's sort of like the movie that Jim Caviezel did about human trafficking. A lot of people were saying, "Oh, we don't want to give this movie any attention because he is a conspiracy theorist." Yeah, but human trafficking is not a conspiracy. Like, that literally happens, right? And so he's shining a light on something that's true. And just because you may not agree with his position on something else, doesn't mean that what he said about children being kidnapped and used for sex trafficking and things like that, like that's real. And so, yeah, I think sometimes we throw the baby out with the bathwater.
I didn't know JC was a conspiracy theorist. Is he like kind of out there with some stuff or what? Or is that just something they label him because he's a Catholic believer, whatever, and conservative?
Well,
I would think anything that – go ahead.
Well, as I say, the movie itself, I forget the name right now, just slipped my mind, but I can see the movie poster in my head where he plays
Santa Claus 2, I think it was called.
he plays a CIA or FBI agent whose job it is to catch people who are doing human trafficking. And it's based on the life of a real guy. The real life guy was a Mormon that's a beside the point. But anyway, Jim Caviezel.
One of my conspiracy theories.
Yeah. Well, Jim Caviezel himself has been on, has said things about QAnon. And of course, we know QAnon conspiracy stuff. So he was labeled a QAnon conspiracy theorist. Therefore, the movie was shelved. People didn't want to, like Netflix wouldn't put out. Netflix put out everything Adam Sandler's ever done, Netflix has been happy to do, but wouldn't put out this movie about human trafficking. So, yeah.
It's kind of telling. Because that's kind of a conspiracy theory too, like the whole underworld of sexual trafficking and like elites, kind of, you know, the Jeffrey Epstein stuff. That's another conspiracy theory where I think that was a InfoWars. What's the guy from InfoWars?
Alex Jones.
Alex Jones was talking about that island like 15 years ago, and people were like, "Oh, he's nuts." You know,
Alex
what I mean?
Jones is right.
Yeah. Well, even the clips you see him going off about like gay, you know, gay frogs, like licking frogs to turn you gay, that turned out, there's a paper that the federal government released and they're like, "Oh, we were working with some type of chemical that would change estrogen and testosterone levels to like turn men into women and women into men." Like, some of that stuff that he talks about, like I said, they're based in some type of truth. And I think that's kind of what I wanted to say at the beginning too, is like one conspiracy theory as a term was kind of made up by intelligence, the government intelligence, to kind of deride anyone who had those thoughts. I can't remember when it was, maybe in the 60s or 70s, that actual term conspiracy theory was created. And then two, a lot of conspiracy theories are based in fact. They have some type of truth to them, and it's just kind of, I guess, going down the rabbit trail of what's true and what isn't is kind of the fun part of looking into it. And some of, I say fun, but some of the stuff is pretty serious. So who wants to go first? What's our first subject for a conspiracy theory that you think might have some truth to it or could be plausible? Who's up first?
I'll go first. Right. I know it's a little controversial, but this is kind of what got me into looking into this stuff at all. Before that, I did not care about politics. I just cared about having fun and hanging out with my friends, but it would be
the resurrection of Muhammad. How dare you, sir?
The resurrection of Muhammad. 9/11, okay. Which is very conspiratorial. I've talked to people about this. And if you even go against the narrative that the media did or the 9/11 commission, you're considered a kook. But there's just some questions that never set well with me. One of them being, why did Building 7 come down? And they just said because of fires, and it came down in its footprint.
Yeah, it held all the world's financial information. Yes, and the guy just took out like a $10 billion insurance loan against it the day before too.
Yes. There was even an interview where he said, I told him to pull it.
Yeah.
If you watch the interview, and that just never sat well with me. And then the other things that preceded that, as far as us going into Iraq for weapons of mass destruction that they never found, the Patriot Act, which took away a lot of our rights and gave the government permission to spy on us. So those things just never set well with me. What do you guys think?
What do you guys think about the implosion, like the level by level when those were coming down and people are saying, well, that's a what do you call that? Like a demolition, like a controlled demolition, because it does look a little suspicious. And I think there's some plausibility to that, to where you got to remember those World Trade Centers had been attacked, what, 93 with the car bomb. So you could even have some intelligent agency go look at all those major buildings in New York City. If they're under attack and we think they're going to do something, just wire them and have them sitting there in case we have a domestic or external attack and we just need to blow stuff up to protect assets. They do it in the military all the time. So I've always looked at that. I went, man, those level by level, that's a little weird for me. The, you know, the jet fuel that burned the whole building and took it down, yet they found four passports in the rubble. I don't know how it can burn metal, but not paper. That's a little weird. And then it's just the footage at the Pentagon is really sketchy too. You never see a plane. There's no parts. There's no engine. Yep. And it came in at a level, because I watched it live. I don't know where you guys were at, but I was when I say live, it was on news delay, but I watched it as most people did, watched it as it was happening. And even when they would shoot to the Pentagon, you go, geez, it just looks like a little dirt trail with a couple pieces of metal. You think a 747 would leave more than that, you know? So there's definitely some questions there. What do you think, Keith?
One of my favorite movies is, and you know me, I'm a pop culture movie guy, Mark Wahlberg's movie called Sniper. And in that movie, there is, are you guys familiar with it? You guys remember the movie Sniper with Mark Wahlberg? And the whole movie is based on the idea that the government wants to take out someone. So they use the sniper to tell them how another sniper would do it. And they end up pinning it on him. But it's a really interesting movie to watch how, if there's any truth to it, I realize it's fiction, but how things can be portrayed to the public, and yet the truth is so different on the other side. And so when it comes to 9/11, there are things that I think are wild and beyond what I think is reasonable. Yeah. But I think there are things that should be questions that should be asked. I've been one who asked questions about the Pentagon a lot, because it's the most important military facility in the world, and yet there's no camera to catch the plane. That was the big question for me, because I've seen the planes hit the towers. I know there's a lot of debate about the planes themselves and all those things, but we saw the film from various angles and everything. Planes hit the towers. I think that's beyond question, but there's no film of a plane hitting the Pentagon. And that's always been a bother to me, that in the place that would have more cameras than any place in the world, in a place that has more, eyes looking at it than any other place in the world. We don't have any evidence of their, you know, a film, no film evidence of that. So I would, so that's one of the things that sort of like a hanging chad, hey, another conspiracy theory. Hanging chad. But you know, that, so I understand, if nothing else, I understand why people have questions. I understand why people want answers. And I do think the official story is a little difficult to accept on its face. So I would say, yes, the official story seems to have a lot of holes, and I don't know that those holes will ever be filled.
Yeah. Every time someone says hanging chad, I think of like just like this bro dude that's in a fraternity.
I've never heard that. You know what I mean?
Like, hey, dude, what's up? Oh, dude, it's hanging chad, dude. He's here. Let's do it. I don't know. I've never heard that expression. You've never heard hanging chad?
I've never heard that expression.
The 2000 election.
I grew up
right,
in the hood. They don't use expressions like that.
How old are you, John?
I reckon you get shot if you use hanging chad where I come from.
45.
Okay, so you're two years older than me. All right, so the reason why I ask is because the first election I was really able to be involved in as far as voting was the 2000 election, because I turned 18 in 98, so the next presidential election was the 2000 election with George Bush and Al Gore. And the hanging chad.
I voted for Al Gore. I'm just admitting it right now. All right, that's how little I knew about politics.
Lockbox. Got to put social security.
I wasn't a Christian at the time. I didn't know anything about politics, and I just liked the way the guy talked.
Lockbox.
Yeah, and I liked his. go ahead.
Once you fool, can't get fooled again. Strategery.
Go ahead.
Are some of the best SNL sketches, by the way.
Well, the reason why I was asking,
go ahead.
The hanging chads happened during the 2000 election when the pieces of paper that were punched by the punch voting machine didn't fall off. Therefore, they couldn't count those votes. And so they had people who were going through and literally manually counting where there were pieces of paper hanging from the voting ballot. And they called those hanging chads. And so the phrase hanging chad meant a conspiracy to overthrow a vote. That was where that term comes from.
Yeah, and then George Bush was like, I think we should let the Secretary of State decide it. It's my second cousin. It was like real. Talk about voting conspiracies, too. Like, that was back in 2000. Yeah. That was a whole thing. We weren't nearly as divided, I don't think, or conspiratorial, because they basically just let the Secretary of State of Florida decide the election. And they were like, okay, I guess that's what we got to do. And then, swore him in. You know,
I will say there is some bizarre conspiracies around 9/11. Like, I had watched one where they said the plane wasn't even real. It was a hologram.
Yeah, I don't.
And that, you know, bombs that went off. But there was eyewitnesses saying that they heard bombs, firefighters, policemen, different people that were on the street that said they heard like boom, 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 boom. And you can watch videos on maybe not on YouTube. They scrubbed everything.
The only thing I would say to that is if anyone has ever been under duress or have adrenaline, and I just experienced this just five days ago. I was up north hunting. You're sitting there quietly. A deer walks out in front of you. You raise up your bow or your gun. You just automatically get some adrenaline. I'm about to shoot something. And you really have to focus to make sure things don't go blurry. You remember details, what way it's going to run, where it's moving. There's a weird thing where people hear gunshots and they think it's, firecrackers or, bombs. So there's a weird thing too. When you're under duress, you're not, eyewitness testimony is already kind of shaky, but when you're under duress, it can be a little shaky. This is where I land on 9/11. Just because of the government's track record, could the government have known about the attack? Absolutely. Do nothing about it. Seize an opportunity. I think what is the leftist saying is don't let a good crisis go to waste. Mm-hmm. I would totally be on board to say there was probably some people high up, bureaucrats within the intelligence community, that said, there's a 90% chance this is going to happen. Let's play it out because we can probably sacrifice a few people's lives to advance our kind of military kind of, agenda. I don't think that's conspiratorial at all, because the government does that all the time.
It's been happening throughout history. I mean,
throughout the whole time, man, we go down and inject people with stuff in Argentina to see if they can get, recover from syphilis. We put poison in the alcohol during Prohibition. That's a fact. The government said, hey, keep putting more poison in there. And, basically alcohol rubbing alcohol inside there. So there's all this stuff of, you know, we practiced on people with LSD for mind control, MK Ultra. That's not a conspiracy theory anymore. Those papers have been released. So the government does have a long line of going, let's sacrifice a few people for the greater good or the better agenda. Heck, the papers just came out with JFK when they came to him, and a paper got all the way to JFK's desk that was like, hey, we want to shoot down a commercial airliner with U.S. citizens on it and then blame it on Cuba. And it got all the way to his desk, and he was like, it's been signed off by FBI, CIA, or I don't think.
Wasn't that the New American, or I can't remember the name of it, but there was an actual proposal to do that.
No, that's what I'm saying. The proposal got to his desk. All it needed was a signature. And he goes, what in the heck are you guys doing? And he wouldn't sign off on it. And then, you know, 6 weeks later, right after he said he wanted to end the Fed, he's dead. Talk about conspiracy theories, but Keith looking like he wants to say something on that.
Go ahead, Keith.
Well, this is why I don't fly on planes. There's no chance. There's no chance the government's going to be going, you know what? I want to make a statement by blowing up his Ford F-150.
Let's put a nuke down on that F-150 on Route 12 there as he's heading down to heading over to Tampa or whatever. Oh, that's funny. There's some stuff around like Building 7 for 9/11. Is a weird one. And then just kind of the fact that we knew that was a target and we couldn't stop it. How lax our security was on letting people take, you know, flight lessons. And then I don't know, in the box cutter thing. No disrespect to all the people on the plane. And I think the one in Pennsylvania that went down, they did fight back. But how do you, if you're in a plane and you're already like, look, if this thing does not land, I'm dead. And someone holds a box cutter up to me. I mean, the worst you're going to do is give me a couple 2-3 inch deep stabs before
I've cut myself with the box cutter. It's not life threatening. I used to stock groceries and I hit my hands and my wrist a couple times. And put a baby.
I will challenge that thought only on this thought. And again, I know we got to get on to some other conspiracy theorists. The reason why a person could overtake a plane with a box cutter is because it was before 9/11. And I know that sounds weird because it sounds like I'm being anachronistic. What I'm saying is now it would never happen because we've seen the result. But if I had a box cutter, I don't want to use myself as an example. That sounds bad. If a person had a box cutter.
clip it, post it.
And the very first thing they did, I know this because I teach personal protection. I also teach how people handle stress. And you were talking about stress earlier. There's something called the autonomic nervous system, which takes over and causes us to do things like have tunnel vision, vasoconstriction. All these things happen when we're under stress and we think we're going to die. If a man stands up and cuts the throat of a stewardess, everybody's autonomic nervous system is going to go crazy and they're going to begin to think they're next. And that creates a sense of fear, which does cause most, they talk about the fight or flight syndrome. There's not two, there's three. There's fight, flight, and freeze. And the vast majority of people freeze under that level of stress. When they see somebody's head literally get cut, because I can kill you with a box cutter very quickly. Because I teach, I teach modern Arnis, which is Filipino knife and stick fighting. I can ruin you with a box cutter with no problem. If I cut,
dude, we got a killer on the program, dude.
Well, right here, if I were to cut you as far as I can into the depth and hit the bone, you're going to bleed out before the end of the fight. Because right here is those veins, you know, people kill themselves here. Well, the veins that connect here are back here. And if I cut you all the way to the bone right there, we have hairy parts that protect us. We have non-hairy parts that don't protect us, which is why we should do this and not this when we're afraid. Because this is the hairy parts are designed to protect us. This is why boxers cover like this. I'm sorry, this is a whole other conversation, but
it seems like you've studied this pretty in depth.
I think you should change your podcast name to the Jason Bourne podcast, bro.
The box cutter.
I'm just saying with that, I believe that people can be sent into a state of fear by seeing someone else die very quickly. And if they think they're next, which is what happened on the flight, you mentioned the Philadelphia flight. There's a man on that flight. I forget his name right away, but he was a jiu-jitsu fighter. He was the one who was on the phone and he said, we're fixing to go. We're about to fight this guy. And they got in line and they charged him because they knew the other alternative. The other alternative was we're going to die anyway. So anyway, so sorry.
They made a call from one of
Oh, that was interesting.
In 2001, he made a call from one of those super cell phones that reached cell phone towers from 9 miles, 10 miles in the air.
Again.
Another conspiracy theory.
Yeah. Just to back up for what Greg said, that was called Operation Northwoods.
Northwoods.
That was
okay. Ooh, we got a fact checker.
The U.S. Department of Defense in 62, they did that to bring us into the Cuban War, or try to. That was a proposal to try to.
That's so crazy.
I don't know. I think you're right, Keith, just to finish this off, but just to agree and disagree with you, I think you're right. You're looking, you have the expertise and like kind of the what everyone would do. I don't know. I had a gun pulled on me 3 times now in my life. And every time it didn't feel like freeze or flight, I was like, all right, let's do this. And I don't know if that's just an ignorant response. Now I had a gun too. And once I showed it, the 2 times it got pulled on me, they put it away because it wasn't worth it, I don't think. But, I just in my mind, and I know everyone does this. Well, if it was me up there, I would have, right? We all do that. But, I don't know. I've seen some gory stuff and it doesn't really faze me at all. You know what I mean? I just went, man, a box cutter. Let's go, dude. I'd be choking you by the time you, well, maybe not. You could slice them and bleed out, but that's not even conspiracy. I don't know.
Behind the arm.
just right here though.
Just right here. Towards the armpit.
You want to know what? I'm getting some underarm guards, dude. Next time I fly, be like, let's go.
I tell you what. I mean, I carry a gun everywhere I go. If I got my pants on, I got my gun on. And it's for that reason. Because if a guy pulls a knife, I'm going to put 2 in his chest and 1 in his head.
As a black belt, if someone challenges you, you just put your hands up and go pick your weapon. You want these or this?
No, as a black belt, I avoid every potential threat because I've studied, I have watched hundreds of hours of actual fights and people being attacked. And you would be surprised how easily even a trained fighter can be injured. I mean, imagine, jiu-jitsu fighters are trained to go to their back. Well, what happens if your head hits the side of a curb? You're out. You're done. And now the fight's over. Yeah. The guy's stomping your head into the concrete because you decided to roll backwards without checking what was behind you.
That's what happened in American History. Yeah,
that's exactly what I thought.
That guy wasn't jiu-jitsu, dude. Yeah.
Do you have your hands insured?
There's no such thing.
Are your hands insured?
That's another conspiracy theory is that martial artists have to be registered as lethal weapons.
What's your deductible on your hands?
What's your deductible? Is it comprehensive or collision? He's like, I got collision on these bad boys. Even if I accidentally hit you, I'm covered. Get out the way.
Hangnail.
That's a special.
I'm George. I'm George.
The hangnail.
I'm George Costanza.
He's the hand model.
Oh my gosh.
Iron.
Dude, oh my gosh. Just walking around with oven mitts on out in public. You gotta protect these babies. Yes. Oh man. So they call him. It's his nickname in the dojo. Oven mitts here. Watch out. All right.
That's what you get for avoiding. That's what I get for avoiding manual labor all my life.
These soft hands that can kill you. Okay. All right. Let's cap 9/11. Yeah, there's some stuff there. But Keith, why don't you give us one? What's one that you think might have? I don't know how we're going to recover from oven mitts, but let's get back to this.
Mine is so stupid. We've had such a serious conversation about. I didn't know we were going to 9/11 first.
I wanted to get it out of the way. I was a little worried about it. You never know how people are going to react to that.
When you invite John to a podcast, he gets right into the serious stuff. He's like 9/11, JFK moon landing, flat Earth.
Like, hey, mine is literally the Loch Ness monster.
Is that a conspiracy theory?
I don't know if it's
Look at dude. All I know is in the 80s when I was a kid, I'd stand in line at the grocery store and like the Inquirer every other week would have a picture of that dang Loch Ness monster. And I was like, is that thing real? Where are they getting these pictures?
So here's my conspiracy. It's not a conspiracy as much as it is just, is it something that is real that people don't think is real? So I in that sense, conspiratorial. Yeah. I think that there are undiscovered creatures, some of which would absolutely eliminate the timeline that's held by the evolutionist position. And that's yeah. where I think the conspiracy side of it comes in is I think that there's a position that's held, which says that dinosaurs had to be, you know, billions of years ago and we are here and there's no connection between the two. And if there are connection points like the Loch Ness Monster and other things, it would destroy that timeline. It would destroy that positional distinction. And therefore I think it's downplayed as joke. It's downplayed, but I think there's things out there which demonstrate that this Earth hasn't been here as long as people think it is. I'm a young Earth Christian, but I think there's actually like some physical things out there that show that, you know, I think dinosaurs are still on the Earth. That's what I'm saying. I think dinosaurs are still on.
Hey, this is the conspiracy episode. So I'll let you jump in here, John, too, but my first thought is, why can't there be large aquatic creatures in the depths of the sea that we've never even gotten close to exploring?
Yeah.
We just got to, you know, I always talk about in Job where God is talking to Job and he goes, have you put the freshwater streams at the bottom of the ocean? And all atheists and scientists were like, see, that book's insane. There's no such thing. You can't have fresh water and salt water, right? And then in 1978, they send down some robots and they're like, holy cow, there's fresh water streams at the bottom of the ocean and they're separated. Yeah. And the fresh water's running on the bottom and the salt water's floating on top. It's like, oh, okay. Well, there you go. Science proved God right yet again. So there's all kinds of stuff we haven't explored. So there's all kinds of animals. I saw some stat that says like we've explored more of the moon than we have the depths of the ocean or something like that. You can fact check me on it. It's some weird stat that just is mind blowing. Why can't there be stuff in deep waters that have developed differently because, you know, oxygen, nitrogen levels, all that kind of stuff,
pressure,
like that's one. Cause you're kind of touching on one that I'm going to talk about, which is an animal as well. I kind of lean and go, there's something down there. Now it could be exaggerated over time and how long the neck is and how big it is, but there's probably something in there. What do you think, John?
Well,
would you give any credence to it?
Oh yeah. Because
John's gonna be yes on all conspiracy theories, by the way.
Amen.
What you gonna do, brother? Yes, yes, sir.
Because for years there were purported to be sightings of the giant squid, and you know, right. They thought that was a conspiracy theory. And I'm trying to look it up. I can't remember what year they found it, but they ended up finding the giant squid.
Oh, the giant squid?
Yeah, that was. And I can't get any info. I'm looking on Wikipedia, so I don't.
All the animal ones always interest me because there are so many different kinds out there that we like chupacabra. You know what I mean? Yeah. You'll see those where they wash up on shore, and you're like, "What the heck is that? Something's going on there." But I would say on a scale of 1 to 10, Loch Ness, I would say probably not exactly what you would see in like the National Enquirer, but 8 out of 10. 80%, there's something in there that's big and different, and we haven't classified it. Just because we haven't classified millions of things in the ocean, and I know that's not the ocean, right? Loch Ness is what? In a like a real deep lake over in where? It's in Scotland?
It's a loch. It's a loch.
Well, it's a loch. Loch.
It's a loch. But I don't know what that means. I just know that's what it is. I don't know what it is either. I think it's a lake. Yeah. It's a loch.
Well, I used to think it was called the Loch Nest. Like he lived in a nest, but it's Ness, right? N-E-S-S. Yeah.
Have you ever seen Napoleon Dynamite?
Oh yeah. It's been a while, but
where he gives the report on Loch Ness Monster and he calls her Nessie. He goes, Nessie has been found. So that's what I call her. Loch Ness is Nessie.
Nessie. Nessie. Yeah, that's funny. Did you find the
I was trying to look up what is a loch. So I cannot know stuff. It bugs me.
Oh my gosh, dude. This is this.
But then L-O-C-H.
Were you dumber after listening?
The other thing you could go into with that is the conspiracy theory that the Smithsonian actually hides like giant bones and different stuff like that that would go against.
Dude, that's not conspiracy. They got receipts on that. Okay, well,
yeah.
Smithsonian.
Some people would say it's conspiracy.
If you're digging and you find something weird, and it happens a lot in Southern Ohio, believe it or not, in the Midwest, they've got representatives that come out there. They pay them off. They dig them up themselves. They put them in a vault, and you never see them. So why they do that, I don't know, but the Smithsonian, and believe it or not, the Vatican. Vatican has some of the rarest, weirdest fossils and artifacts in the world, and they're all locked up and they're not on display and you don't get to see them. So that's where the conspiracy comes in for me. Why the heck, if I get to, you know, why can't I see a 9-foot femur bone? What's up with that?
Mm.
You know, I don't know if,
Keith, did you fall asleep?
Did he sleep?
No, I'm awake. Frozen? I'm sorry. No. My face was like,
he was sitting with his eyes down. It looked like it was either frozen or he fell asleep. I'm like,
okay. An elder, one of our elders texted me and I had to respond. So I do apologize. Good. I wasn't trying to be rude. I'm sorry.
You do the work of the Lord as a pastor when we're talking about Loch Ness Monsters. Jeez. Okay, get your priorities straight, Keith.
I can tell you what a lock is if you want.
Okay. Don't you put it on like a bagel and fish sandwich?
Yes.
Okay.
Or on a door.
A door. Okay.
So what is the difference between a loch and a lake? Well, the main distinction is where they're located. Lochs can be found in Scotland and Ireland, whilst lakes are found elsewhere in the world. This is because the word loch comes from the Gaelic language, which
means lake.
Were historically, basically.
Okay. All right.
But then you have locks, like canals where you go into a canal and you got the lock where it raises up the.
Right. Okay. So it's a big deep, but it's a deep lake. I thought I remember reading it's like deep, super deep. And wherever
I think there's caverns under there that they go into the.
Oh, like underwater
systems and stuff cave like systems. That. I could be wrong.
Where the reptiles live. Another conspiracy theory.
That's underground.
Greg. Oh, is that underground?
She's okay. What do you think? She's the Loch Ness monster.
The lake.
Lake Ness.
Lake Nessie. All right. So Loch Ness, I say, there could be something big under there. I'm okay with it. People might think I'm crazy, but there's something swimming underneath there. What do you think? Yeah.
I think it's a possibility for sure.
But you're leaning towards
I don't believe in evolution the way that they say it. I don't believe in millions of years. I don't believe that dinosaurs. I believe humans lived with dinosaurs. And
There's a lot of drawings of that.
Yeah. So, or dragon. I mean, they called them dragons before they called them dinosaurs. And every
same thing
culture,
the Bible calls them.
People worship dragons. Every culture had talked about dragons and fighting dragons and killing dragons and slaying dragons. And they didn't talk about it as myth. They talked about it as fact.
Well, even the... what do you call it? Is it hieroglyphics or whatever? The
hieroglyphics
on the side of the, they got like stegosauruses and stuff, like weird stuff that looks really similar to what we kind of draw for what we thought was millions of years ago with man.
Yeah.
And you just go, what's that all about? You know, I don't know.
Yep.
Okay. So mine, I'm going to switch to mine. It's staying on the animal theme that maybe could be, but I have a weird thing on this and you guys might have more information than I do. Is Bigfoot. I've always been enthralled with, could it be some kind of weird land animal that just, lives high in the mountains, been seen once or twice, and then the folktale kind of grows over time. The Native Americans believed it was spiritual.
Yeah.
That's where, as the auditory tradition goes, that's why they would even say how. Because when when they greet each other with the hand, it would show five fingers and not six, because Native Americans experienced giants with six fingers, kind of like Goliath is recorded with. And they said that Bigfoot was a spiritual aberration. It would appear and then disappear. And it had six fingers and it was, for them, it was more of like the demonic thing.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's possible, but that's one that I think is a fun one just to roll around, because I don't know. I think there are spiritual things that can take physical manifestation and form, even in this world. And, I don't know, maybe Bigfoot's one of those. Maybe it's just crazy, hunters out in the middle of the woods that haven't seen, another living human in a week. And it's like, oh, there's some out there. I don't know. What do you guys think?
You want to go, Keith, or?
Well, I think maybe just in a
fur coat.
Yes.
I think that Bigfoot is as plausible as Loch Ness Monster, and so I disagreed. What I mean is I think there's something out there. My bigger issue, I guess, with and this sort of goes the opposite way of Loch Ness. I think Loch Ness is the potential demonstration of a younger Earth, but the issue I have with Bigfoot is it's often used as a missing link type of argument. This is the missing link between man and ape. I don't think that's what Bigfoot is. I think Bigfoot is possibly a creature we haven't identified yet, As far as the spiritual side of it, I heard there was the Haunted Cosmos episode on the issue of Bigfoot. They talk about the idea of it being a spiritual creature. I had not really thought of that before then. So I just think the idea that there are plenty of animals that are not yet on our charts, our sure. understanding. And so I think the way I've always thought of Bigfoot is just an undiscovered creature. And I think of like we used to call the phrase was abominable snowman. Yeah. Abominable means to smell bad or to have an odor. And so when they would find evidence of this creature, it always smelled bad. It always had this it left behind this odor. And so I've always thought of something physical. That's always just made me think of that as being physical.
Right.
And so, but that's I have no issue if someone, if tomorrow they were to find a colony of Bigfoots, I'd be like, they would be, but if they, like in the backwoods of Alaska, they just happened upon, the guy from Harry and the Hendersons and his family, it's like, I don't know, Harry and the Hendersons.
Well, so the spiritual thing is interesting to me just because it has a long history with a couple different cultures. And, really any type of conspiracy theory, animal or being, why not just make them all spiritual? Oh, the Loch Ness is spiritual. Oh, the Chabacuba is spiritual. It's like Bigfoot is the only one where the Native Americans, some part in Eastern Europe, and then I can't remember the third group of people, they have a tradition of it being spiritual, which interests me. And I go, okay, there's something there where they all three kind of line up. So why is that? But the things that would kind of deter me against it in what I think about is, man, we've explored so much of the world and we're in so many crevices mm-hmm. of like weird places that are supposed to be remote as humans. There's no, and we have so many cameras and phones and recording devices. We should have got something on camera if it was like actually walking around. You know what I mean? Like this 8-10 foot creature. I mean, even you say Alaska, but most of Alaska has some type of, now not every part of it, but most quadrants or sections is a 16 by 16 square mile have at least had humans in them, So it'd be really hard, I think, for a Bigfoot to like hide from humans at this point. Cause at least that's on land. That's not the depths of the ocean. Like we were talking about with Loch Ness. It's on land. What do you think, John?
Well, I had watched that Haunted Cosmos episode. They have two episodes, and I mean, they're a couple hours long. And I've always thought of Bigfoot as just a physical creature that people had seen. You always see that photograph that they still can't kind of explain. But they went in to talk about where it even like would disappear into a mist. I think at the end of one of the episodes, they talked about it communicating with the lady telepathically and then protecting her I never heard that before. I listened to that episode of it being maybe like a spiritual type creature like you're talking about, so I don't really know where I stand on the Bigfoot. It's super interesting. I agree with Keith too that if we did find something like that, the evolutionists would be like, look, this is the missing link, this is what we were.
But they call but I don't know if it would change anything for believers because they call apes, and we're linked to them somehow because our DNA is 98% the same.
It's or like Neanderthals, right. Which to me just would have been humans. And I can't remember what group it was, but they used to actually, I think it was Aborigines, they would kill them and then boil down their skulls and use that as evidence for evolution.
What's that?
It, like Aborigine tribes
would kill what?
The people.
Oh,
and geez. Then boil down their skulls and use that as like a form of evolution. I think it was Aborigine.
Jeez. Well, there were witch doctors that did that, head shrinkers, right?
Yeah, but he's actually, John is referring to some studies that were done. I don't know. I don't know or don't know right or wrong whether or not they were killed, but yes, their skulls were definitely studied to argue that their skulls represented a transitional point between our nearest ancestor and human beings, that Aborigines were not fully human beings. And that was done in the 1800s. Yeah. So absolutely.
Oh, wow.
And evolution, if you look at Hitler, he had a list of who was more evolved than another race of people,
Darwin had that.
Yeah.
Darwin was very eugenics in kind of his science as
I'm
well.
I'm gonna look this up, but the full name of that book isn't just
While you're looking that up too, speaking of like Aborigines and like killing, have you guys ever seen the movie? I think it's called Bone Tomahawk.
I have heard Tomahawk of it.
Bone.
It's Bone Tomahawk. I've never seen it, but a buddy of mine said it is rough.
It is, dude. Okay, look at. Don't watch it with kids. Probably not your wife either. Because there's some violence in it. But the story, whoever wrote the story and how they shot it, the cinematography of it and kind of the timing of it, the speed of it was just really good.
What movie? I'm sorry.
I think Kurt Russell's in it.
Well, what's it called?
Bone Tomahawk, I think.
Oh, and I've never, yeah.
And it's essentially set in like the maybe the late 1800s, mid 1800s. And there's like this last tribe of Indians that are out there that have evolved, you know, and kind of just been separate. And they're gruesome and okay. They capture people and kill them basically. But I don't know why I brought that up, but it just made me think of that. He said people.
So real quick, the full title of his book is Origin of the Species by Means of Natural Selection or the Preservation of Favored Races in the Struggle for Life.
Right. It's right in the title.
Yeah. So, you know, they've always viewed certain cultures as less evolved, you know, than Europeans and stuff like that, which biblically, dude, that would be absolutely wrong.
I don't understand how the crazy secularists, atheists, leftists, progressives, all those guys who are big evolutionists don't see the racism in Darwin's theory and the selection. It's just crazy.
That's why they took out the whole title.
Yeah.
To teach it in schools.
Oh, that's true too. Yeah. All right, let's move right along. So we're back to John. We might not get to all these because we've already been going a little bit. But so John came out of the gate with 9/11. Jeez. Right off the top. Then we went Loch Ness. Then we went Bigfoot. What do you got? Another one that you go, there might be something there.
New World Order.
Oh, yeah. All right. Now we're getting into it.
Basically,
what are you going to do? What are you going to do, brother? Oh, wait. I think not the WWE
New World Order. just the idea that there's a group of elites who control what happens throughout the world, you know,
or at least guide.
I know the Rockefellers would be mentioned in that.
Sure.
You know, even during like World War II, they funded both sides of the, you know, the conflict, you know, you even had Ford and GM building, tanks and stuff like that for Germany and making money off that. But being in America, IBM, they actually, did the punch cards for the Jewish people and stuff in the concentration camps and stuff like that. But just these elites and these people with money that kind of control what's going to happen in society. I know now the newest thing, it would be like the economic forum, like Klaus Schwab and then you
Bilderberg.
Have, yeah.
That's then, a real thing. Yeah.
Then you have his underling. I think it's Harari, whatever.
Yeah. That dude is scary. Klaus Schwab is the closest thing to a Bond villain that I've ever seen.
Oh my goodness. Even his outfits are like,
like, what are you going to do, Mr. Bond?
But that Harari Noe, I think I'm saying his name right. He even says like, we don't believe in the God in the clouds. We believe in the, you know, the God of the clouds, like the IBM cloud and this and that. And he talks about how humans are useless and we don't know what we're going to do with them once all this technology and AI takes off. And and he, you know, he basically says that the human mind's hackable and that we really think that we have a choice to choose our thoughts, what we don't, that they can hack us and control us and stuff like that. So,
yeah. So I think there are, Keith, you tell me what you think about this too. I look at it more like, and this ties in for me to like the Illuminati conspiracy theories too, like New World Order, Illuminati. I think anyone who's making decisions at an elite level to push an agenda, and I don't know if it's sometimes it's specific things, but moreover, I look at it as we want to move in this general direction, which is anti-Christ, anti-God, right? And what is the commands of God? Go forth and multiply, get married, have kids, have dominion over the land and the animals and all these things. And the plan by kind of the elitist or the antichrist, the spirit of antichrist. When I'm using antichrist, I'm saying like anti-God, right? I'm not saying like the man of perdition and all this stuff, like, you know, end time stuff. I'm saying that that agenda is alive and well 100%, right? We see it. We're like, abort your baby, go trans, be gay, don't have kids. They're too much money. It's going to hurt climate change. They're, you know what I mean? They're financial stress on you. Like, everything to stop population growth. You know, you have, what's his name? Gates. Like, we need to have two billion people on Earth instead of eight. And we're overgrown and overpopulated, which is funny because 98% of the people live on 8% of the populated Earth. We have a lot of room to expand if we really wanted to. So I look at that and I see, and remember, Illuminati just means illuminated. Like, yeah, that's the crazy thing too. Ones. The worst thing the church or believers has ever done is made a Satanist into like this goth guy with mascara on and a pitchfork. And he's like bloodletting goats. That's not what Satanists and Illuminati people are. They just believe they are illuminated in the fact that Satan comes as the angel of light. And he illuminated our way of thinking and made us the judge of right and wrong. And that's the way it should be. You talk to a real Satan worshiper, not like a LaVey, but like a real, like, I believe Lucifer was correct when he deserved worship over God was, yeah, we should know right from wrong. We should be making the decisions. God should not be the moral arbiter of this world. We should be. And they're actually pretty normal. They're just anti-Christ. They're just anti-God and everything that they stand for. They're not, you know, they're not doing rituals with beads and, you know, like I said, bloodletting goats. And now there is that sect of it. But they laugh at those people and they go, yeah, keep the Hollywood version of Satan alive because we got real things to do over here as the ruler of this air to advance things that are anti-Christ. Let's population control. Let's make everyone, let's erase genders because the created order is man and woman. So I don't know if there's like a group of five people that sit around a table and make decisions, but I do know there's groups of elite people that do not believe in the created order and anything God has instituted, and they have their own agenda. And I think that trickles down into like legislation and laws and regulations and the way countries rule and run. What do you think, Keith?
I think that, well, you said it, Satan, right? There is a conspirator. There is a grand conspirator. I don't think the people that are in positions of authority always know that they're connected. I don't think that they always know that there's, we think of conspiracies like guys in a room who are, you know, they like cigars and
wait, is Humphrey Bogart running the world?
we're gonna take over the universe.
Take over the world, see?
No, but I
wait, is Groucho Marx part of the Illuminati? That's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard.
Yeah. Hold on. I have to get something here.
Hey guys. There you go. What do you say? We give the women a right to vote and destroy the country, see?
Just real quick, because it's bugging me. The guy's name is Yuval Noah Harari.
Okay, you were close. Yeah, I wouldn't have never remembered that.
Yeah.
But yeah, so there is a grand conspirator, right? Satan is the ruler of this air. We fight against principalities, spiritual things, but those things do come into the physical realm, right?
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying, is there are people who are doing Satan's bidding, and I don't think that they know it. Now, I think they know that what they're doing, in essence, is against God, but I don't think they know necessarily that they're being manipulated as part of Satan's world. And so, yeah, I think that that's real. When somebody says, do you believe in the Illuminati? I say, okay, well, and I know that's not what you said, John. I'm just saying, people say, do you believe in Illuminati? Yeah, yeah, well, there is such a thing. There is. One of my friends owns a Masonic Bible, and he brought it to my house, and we were looking at it. And there's a definition for Illuminati in the Masonic Bible. There's like all these definitions, so it does exist. It just what is it doing? Yeah.
Well, and it's highly compartmentalized to where people might, you know, they might be thinking they're doing good. You know, like, I'm pretty sure there's people that are with the climate change things. Some people agree with it, some people disagree with it, but they might be thinking that they're doing good by, you know, getting rid of all carbon emissions and gasoline vehicles and this and that. And,
or population control.
Because they, you know, buy into...
I think that's the majority of them. Yeah. Now, when I say doing good, I'm saying we see like a Austin Powers Dr. Evil up there, right? to where I think you have a group of people that just go, oh no, the way of the Christians and the way of the worldview of God, the creator, it's just skewed and it's wrong.
Yeah.
And we have the correct way. And I think it's a lot less nefarious in the fact that we think they're like, oh yeah, we hate all these people, let's kill them all. It's like, well, no, we don't value human life the same way that Christian, you can't, right? If you don't believe in a creator and an image bearer like we believe, well, then you do devalue life. And you go, well, it's no big deal to get rid of 4 billion people because we have different goals and we have different value sets and all these things. And that's why you can, and every once in a while, in like press conferences and stuff, you see it slip out with some of these world leaders where they talk very flippantly, right? Even like a Bill Gates.
Yeah.
Because I've always said, if you're around something long enough, or even a lie or big lies long enough, the little lies that slip out that seem big to us is just normal to them because they've been desensitized to those lies and those kind of plans. You know, you'll have someone say something, oh yeah, we got it. And you're like, what? He should say the quiet part out loud. But, but to those people, you know, who've been around that, they go, oh, well, it's no big deal that we want to create, you know, a vaccine that, now I'm not talking about COVID, but other vaccines in other countries that sterilize people, because I mean, they're living in poverty.
Conspiracy
and,
theory.
Yeah. Wouldn't be great. But all right. So let's move on. Keith, what do you got for me on the second one?
Well, my next one may seem sort of tame considering all that we've gone through in the last hour, but we've hit some really
big ones.
No, this is very tame. It's actually a conversation I had with my wife last night and sort of took me on a different path, because I had a different second one. But then she asked me a question. She said, do you think that the reason why the government puts fluoride in the water is because they intentionally want to poison us? And the question was, because it was raised in a podcast that she had listened to, where the guy said that fluoride actually creates mental deficiency. It lowers IQ. It creates mental cloudiness and problems. And the question of, do we put fluoride in the water is not a question. We do. We've put fluoride in the drinking water of billions of people, or millions of people for years. The question is it intentionally being done to help, or is it intentionally being done to hurt? And that's what was raised. And I said, you know what? I don't know. It's hard to know what the real motivation is. 'Cause obviously they say it's for the good of our teeth.
Yeah.
But is that true? I mean, I'm on well water. Thank God. I don't have to worry about it. But
he's like, I just got iron sulfur in my water. We got it. Right. Yeah, no, that's a good one, because also they've done studies. And like you said, it almost make like decision-making and things like that can be dulled. And the conspiracy basically is that's how you kind of just tamper down a whole society, is just get them to where they don't really want to, you know, I don't know, riot or civil war, or kind of push back on anything that might, you know, upset them, which I don't know. I mean, we've seen riots the last 3-4 years though, every summer, I feel like. So it's like, I don't know if it's working, but, fact that there is fluoride in the water, and fact that it is unhealthy for you. So then the question must be asked, like you said, why are we doing it? Now, the official thing is, hey, it's in such low doses that it's not going to affect you.
Yeah.
But I don't know of any long-term studies that have been done on, minimal amounts of fluoride going into your body over time, because you can have a minimal amount for a short period of time and it doesn't do anything. But, you know, over a long period of time, 20, 30, 40 years, I don't know how that affects you. What were you going to say, Keith?
I was just going to say, and who gave them permission to do it? Like whose idea was it? Hey, we're all going to fix our teeth with a minimal amount of fluoride. Oh, and yeah, it's going to make us stupid. I mean,
Is it a minimal amount if we're brushing our teeth with it every day, drinking tap water with it? A lot of drugs have it in there. A lot of your psych drugs have fluoride in it. And then I'm looking here at a list of side effects for fluoride, skeletal weakness, neurological problems, high blood pressure, acne, seizures.
Jeez.
High intakes can cause tooth decay.
So it reverses and goes. Yeah. Yeah.
So, I don't know. I don't know if I've looked into this but I know, I think from what I read, I think it was either Germany or something put it into the water supposedly to make the population docile and not as aggressive against tyranny.
That's kind of the conspiracy I heard. Yeah. But it's a good question Keith is asking, and I don't know the answer to it. Maybe you can look it up. Like, who first instituted fluoride in our public drinking water? Was it like the EPA or the federal government, or did it come down through like probably an environmental act, I'm thinking, or something. But yeah, full disclosure, we don't use toothpaste with fluoride, and all of our drinking water's purified at our house, just because I don't know, there was some weird thing there that early on I was like, not good for kids to have it. I don't really want it. And those are easy steps. Buy your toothpaste without fluoride. We have a coal filter on the fridge with along with some other filters that'll take it out. What do you got?
So this is saying in 1945, Grand Rapids became the first city in the world to fluoridate its drinking water. The Grand Rapids Water Fluoridation Study was originally sponsored by the U.S. Surgeon General, but was taken over by the NIDR shortly after the Institute's inception in 1948.
Dang. So this is technology from the 40s?
Yeah.
And we haven't found anything better than fluoride? Think,
what was World War II? What was that?
That's right at the end of World War II.
Yeah, 42.
42 or 43, yeah. It ended. Dude, we had a lot of weird stuff going on right after World War II. I feel like our federal government took advantage of like, hey, let's start instituting some stuff because we just had a world war and we don't want it to happen again.
Yeah. Well, I was telling you earlier about the Tuskegee experiments.
Yeah.
Which they did on African-American men. They basically let them die of syphilis. They told them that they were treating them. They started the study before the penicillin was created. But then when penicillin was created, they still just let them go through and die. Their families ended up getting it. Some of their kids ended up getting it. And the CDC and I can't remember, one of the health organizations, they actually fought in court to keep this going and just let it run through all the way.
Yeah.
Just to see how they would die from syphilis. So, you know,
I mean, we do that in third world countries a lot. Actually, there's a lot of that. What do you think, Keith? Where's your head on that?
It's scary what I think is possible, especially having seen what happened with COVID. It's hard for me to not see a nefarious hand in so many things when it comes to sickness and disease and the potential willingness to use people as guinea pigs and to say we're doing this for a good cause. I mean, are you guys familiar with the eugenics movement?
Yeah, isn't Margaret Sanger, wasn't that Planned Parenthood? Wasn't that originally eugenics thing?
The eugenics movement was early in the 20th century, the idea that we need to eliminate bad genes and promote good genes, and therefore we will force sterilization. We will, and there were there are court cases where people were forced sterilized because they were considered to be less desirable in their physical traits or less desirable in their social economic status. Where
that that went into the 70s, didn't it?
Yeah, D. James Kennedy has, if you remember D. James Kennedy, he was the pastor of Coral Ridge Presbyterian Church in Tampa. He did a documentary about eugenics. I can still not find it. I had it on DVD and I lost it. And to this day, if anybody listening to this knows how to get a hold of the one that he did, he gives the history of eugenics. He talks about Margaret Sanger. She was a byproduct of it. She wasn't the cause of it, but she was definitely on board with the idea that there were people and groups that needed to be taken out of the gene pool. And so absolutely.
That's interesting. Cause all of my knowledge of eugenics just comes from Star Trek, Wrath of Khan. So I'm glad you explained that. Cause I thought we created superhumans in the 1990s.
Well, interestingly, I think Bill Gates' father was part of the Planned Parenthood thing. So he's just rolling with that as far as, you know, wanting the population to be decreased. I don't know if you guys ever heard of this, but it was the Georgia Guidestones. Have you guys ever heard of that?
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
All the goals, probably.
Yeah. And the first goal was, I think, keep the population at 500 million and to help the earth basically. And they took those things down. Remember when we went to Georgia, I wanted to go see them. They're gone.
Yep. Now. They're gone. Yeah. Once again, in my opinion, all that stuff essentially just directly flying in the face of the first few commandments of God. So that's why I can lend some credence to some of these things, because you go, yeah, man is depraved. They rage against God. They want to be God. So why wouldn't you rage against the commands and the laws of God and not treat each other as image bearers and want to control population? And you know what I mean? So for me, it's an easy leap to go, there's men's hearts that do believe that way naturally.
Yep. Jane Goodall. You remember Jane Goodall, the chip lady? She's back in the 70s.
Uh-uh. I know the name. Why can't I think of what she do?
She did a huge study with chimpanzees and
chimpanzees. Oh, I thought you said chips.
I thought you meant like potatoes.
Dang, chips. We're thinking about Frito-Lays. I'm hungry over here.
Well, she recently spoke to the World Economic Forum, and she said that what we needed, what would be best is if we could go back to the population of 500 years ago, which is essentially a 90% population decrease.
So that would be in line with the Georgia Guidestones. So.
Yeah. Crazy. All right. Let's go to my last one. Okay. And then maybe for the three that we think are just nuts, we can just all say them at the same time and pick which one we want. But the one that I find very interesting and probably has some type of truth to it, and I don't know if it's necessarily distributed just this way, but chemtrails. When you're talking about, or at least seeding the air, putting something in there that's aluminum-based, they've pulled, they've done air studies, and aluminum is up 200% over the last 30 years. Whether it's getting distributed through chemtrails or not, there's something with nefarious things going on, I think, with putting something in the air. And I really think it is for food security. Because then, you know, 5-6 years ago, you had Monsanto come out with a wheat seed in a corn kernel, or what, you know, corn seed or whatever. And it's aluminum proof. It basically, if there's aluminum on it or in the ground, it can still survive. To where regular heirloom seeds, if there's too much aluminum in the ground or in the air, they die off. And there's a whole subset of conspiracy theories with Monsanto as well, too, because it's on record. They'll plant their genetically modified seed. The wind will blow and it will go over on another farmer's land. And then they have sued that farmer for using their genetically modified seed just by one or two plants growing up, crops growing up. That farmer loses all the way to the Supreme Court. Then you come to find out, you know, your favorite conservative judges have actually served as lawyers for Monsanto before getting appointed to the Supreme Court. That's a little weird. You think conflict of interest, and they didn't recuse themselves. But so there's something going on, I think, because look at the guy at Nestle was like, we want to own all natural springs. You're like, that's nuts. I can't believe he said that like 5 years ago. He got Monsanto like, we want to be the provider of all seeds. So it's like this weird thing to where once again, raging against the commands of God, right? What did God tell us to do? I've given you all animals and seed to have dominion over, to eat. And then you have a few men going, no, we want to control all that. We want to be able the ones that provide humans with sustenance and food and water. And I think it's just, you know, kicking against the laws and commands of God. But there's something there, I think, with not necessarily chemtrails, but like seeding the air with some type of aluminum, or maybe they do it through chemtrails. For that to happen, though, you'd have to have like a mass conspiracy going on. Like, how are they getting it into the fuel tanks and stuff like that? But I don't know. What do you guys think?
Well, I know that I think it's in California, and I think it's sodium dioxide, but they actually do. You can watch YouTube specials about them spraying that to kind of help it rain. But
they do in Dubai. It rains every day at 11 o'clock in Dubai. Yeah. No, they have a rain machine.
Oh, do they really?
Yeah.
Okay.
All those rich Saudi kings.
But I don't know if this is happening now. I would assume that it might be, but I'm reading an article right now that the U.S. considers sun blocking to cool the earth. And then I know Bill Gates has been involved with this to spray particles in order to.
Oh my gosh. He's becoming Montgomery Burns from The Simpsons.
He looks like him too, but
hey, Simpsons always predicting the future, right?
Yeah, sun dimming technology that would potentially reflect sunlight out of the Earth's atmosphere, triggering a global cooling effect, the stratospheric controlled perturbation experiment.
So Bill Gates is just up there like, excellent. Yeah.
Well, I just think he, you know, if there's anything financial that he can be involved in, he'll do that. So I mean, is it a possibility? Yeah, they're proposing it right now. I know there was a National Geographic magazine that I had gotten probably 8 years ago that talked about that's what they wanted to do, is block, in order to stop climate change, they wanted to block out the sun. They wanted to make most of the landmass to where humans couldn't even go on it to help Mother Earth, you know, replenish herself. And they had zones where humans could go in, and they had the stack 'em and pack 'em cities, like the 5 minute or 10 minute city, or no, 15 minute cities.
Okay.
That they're starting over in Europe to where everything that you need is going to be within 15 minutes. So, yeah, I think it's a possibility that they could.
I just know that they're messing with our air, dude. Yeah. If they can mess with it in Dubai, and trillionaires, undocumented trillionaires can go, hey, let's create a machine that makes it rain and makes it sunny. And can block out the sun. That's all documented. That's not conspiracy. You go to Dubai right now, you set your watch, 11 o'clock, it rains for 25 minutes, and then it's done, or 30 minutes, and it's done.
Well, then there's Project Popeye, too, in Vietnam, where they sprayed to make it rain more.
Right.
For the, you know, to increase the monsoon season so that, you know, it would help them win the war. So
it's just weird because with Monsanto, aluminum isn't even really a naturally occurring issue with crops in the soil. It's usually like acid and stuff like that. So you're like, dude, why is Monsanto spending billions of dollars to genetically modify a seed that's aluminum proof if that's not an issue, you know? Keith, what do you think? Are we putting anything in the air?
No. Well, I think we're putting things everywhere we shouldn't be. Again, that sounded weird.
Sounded weird, dude. I don't know what you're talking about.
I mean, my wife and I were talking again. We were talking about this last night, and she had watched a podcast where they were discussing folic acid being added to certain foods and how. Yeah. Like a 40 to 50% of people can't process folic acid properly. And yet it's being added to the foods. When we see the word enriched, or we see the word like with white flour, enriched flour, that's adding folic acid. And these are things that can't be processed. And we wonder why so many people now are like gluten intolerant, things like that. Maybe it's not the gluten, maybe it's something else. And so there's certainly a lot of mad science going on behind the scenes. And even though it may have, at some point, there may be a benevolent purpose, we have to wonder, is there something nefarious in this claim to benevolence? So,
oh no, absolutely.
I think anytime we mess with God's order, there's going to be problems.
Right. Or shortcuts to it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what most of our food supply is convenience. You know, it's crazy because I always say this, like in the 1950s, early 1960s, they would actually fly doctors in from around the world to study children with cancer because it was so rare. Now, 60 years later, we have whole hospitals, we have whole foundation, Make-A-Wish for kids who have cancer. We have such an epidemic. Talk about a pandemic and epidemic that we don't talk about is, over the last 60 years, cancer, the number three killer, number two, depending on how you classify it. Of Americans is cancer. And you go, okay, so this deformation or this abnormal cell formation in the body, where is this? You know, this isn't genetic. Where is it coming from? I think, and maybe this is conspiratorial, but there's some studies out there to prove it. The food supply is so processed, man.
Oh, manufacturing process. Think of all the stuff that goes into that.
You're not supposed to have food that stays good sitting out for a year and then you can still eat it. There's so many preservatives in our food, man, that is just not good for our body.
McDonald's fries last 20 years.
You know what I mean? It's ridiculous. And you can call it conspiracy.
Not around me, they don't.
I'll find those in my van when I'm cleaning it out, and they're, you know, as fresh as the day they were bought.
Oh, you're like, are you admitting you'll eat a fry?
No, I will not.
Okay, we're just making sure. But yeah, my whole point is it's a shortcut, right? It's a convenience. Like, once again, what are we commanded to do? Go work. Because of the fall, we have to work the land. Mm-hmm. We have to raise our crops. We have to kill our animals. We have to process them, eat them. We don't want to do that. We haven't done that for 100 years. Instead, what do? We walk down the aisle of a grocery store like a 17th century gay king. I'll have some meat. I'll have some flour. Why? I'll have some vegetables. I'll have an apple. And we just pick some fish and we put it in our cart and we don't. And it's full of crap. But we're like, we don't want to work for it. I don't know why
you gotta be. Why gotta be?
Because I feel like if you're doing this, I don't know. It's like I'll have some steak, I'll have some fish. I don't know. It was weird, but in my mind, you know, because they always had those ruffles on too in the 17th century. Yeah. It was always a little suspect. But we don't work for it, So right there, we're going against what Proverbs says, what Ecclesiastes talks about, what Genesis talks about toiling, working, earning. And instead we have all these conveniences, but like you said, John, those conveniences have side effects, I think. Yeah. Medical, right? I think they have societal.
Well, my son's allergic to peanuts. I never even knew anybody that was allergic to peanuts when growing up. And I had asthma before it was cool, but now everybody, not everybody, but a lot of kids have asthma. They have peanut allergies, allergies. My daughter's allergic to milk, and not just an intolerance. She breaks out in hives.
Yeah.
And I just don't remember seeing that kind of stuff when I was younger. And I'm assuming, and they've changed the manufacturing process and preservatives they've put in to make it cheaper and more affordable for them so they can make a bigger profit. So who knows?
I think taking it out too doesn't help. When you remove all those things, the immune system doesn't get the chance to fight those things. Eggs is a great one. My nephew, my brother fed him eggs when he was like 1 or 2 years old, 1 and a half, and his throat restricted so bad he stopped breathing. Yeah. They had to take him to the hospital. The doctor was like, they went to this doctor and he was very open-minded. He goes, look, introduce a little bit at a time and he'll be fine. And by the time he hits teenager, he's like 8 or 9. He eats eggs all the time. Yeah. So they introduced a little bit and the body naturally was able to kind of adjust and go, okay, we need to figure out a way to fight this or whatever. You totally remove, and I'm not saying for your children, they can't be around those things. It's severe. But at a young age or as a society, we go, no milk, no dairy, no peanuts at all. Don't even, you get those. If you go to public school, it's like, you can't bring anything with peanut butter. We have one kid that's allergic. Well, now all those other kids are maybe possibly not benefiting from the fact of being able to build up their immune system at a young age too.
Well, this might go back into conspiracy, but I had watched a talk by a guy who was saying that we need to eat less meat, for climate change. And he said, but people don't want to eat less meat. So he said, we got to figure out basically a way to make them intolerant to meat, like allergic to meat.
Oh, that'll never happen for me.
So, well, I don't know if he proposed putting it in vaccines or whatever, but that was like his suggestion.
he
was dead serious. Like, we need to find a way to purposely make people intolerant of eating meat so that people are eating less meat.
You drop me off on a beach somewhere on a deserted island with 100 pounds of beef jerky and a fresh supply of water and a couple good books and said, see you in 3 years. I'd be like, I'm in heaven. Let's go.
Nice.
I don't know. What do you think, Keith, about that? I don't know. What are we even talking about? I forgot where we're at.
I don't think I can live off beef jerky. So.
we started with chemtrails.
Oh yeah.
And then we went into different types of things. I don't know.
I think you could definitely be doing something with the air. That's just my thought.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, regardless, there is air pollution, regardless of if they're spraying it from planes or whatever.
That's true too.
So, factories and automobiles and, just different aerosols that are being sprayed into the air. So
remember the whole ozone? Were you guys all remember the ozone scare of like the 90s? Like, oh, there's a hole in the ozone. We're all going to burn.
The Aquanet scare.
Yeah, the Aquanet. And then it just went away. They're like, oh, I guess we sold less hairspray. We're good now. They fixed it. Yeah. All right. Let's finish up here with crazy one that you can't get on board with. Let's all say them rapid fire and then we'll figure out which one we want to talk about. One that you just go, okay, even if it's interesting or it piques your interest, you're like, I just can't get on board with that yet. I don't think it's a possibility. What do you think?
I don't think this piques my interest. The only reason it piqued my interest is because my son had told me about it, but he said that birds aren't real. And I look into conspiracy theories. I look into all kinds of different information just for fun, but I never heard this one. And I guess
I shoot pheasants all the time, dude. I'll tell you, they're real.
Basically,
I've eaten duck too.
The conspiracy is that all birds were killed like in the early 50s, 40s, and that now they're surveillance drones, basically. There's no way that people believe this, but apparently it's satirical. The guy just made it up, but apparently people still this, even though it
right there shows you that people will just believe just about anything. Birds aren't real.
Yeah.
I just shot a bird just a couple months ago and I ate it. So that bird was real. What do you think, Keith? What's your crazy one where you're like, I can't, it's out there and I can't get on board with it?
Mine's going to start a fight and I don't know. I don't want to.
Oh, here we go.
I don't, You got a box cutter? Yeah.
I got a box cutter. You better get your insurance plan out.
No. Steven Seagal is actually a good martial artist. No, that's not it. That's not it. That's not it.
Oh, you're going to cut you off right now. Steven Seagal cannot run.
No, I didn't say he could run. I said he was a real martial artist. He's he poor guy. He looks like the monster that ate Steven Seagal now. He's a little heavy, but anyway, no, my crazy one that I don't believe in, but I don't want to fight about it, but I just can't get on board with flat earth, but that's the one.
Dude, that was mine.
Yeah.
He took mine.
Yeah.
So it interests me because I love the idea of a firmament.
Yeah.
I love the idea of a dome. I love the idea of the conspiracy theory of like they go up to Antarctica and they're like, oh, there's this 13-mile ice wall and we can't get over it.
Yeah.
That they went that Admiral Byrd went up there and got pushed back and got crazy beat up by who knows what and during World War II.
That's part of the Hollow Earth theory too.
But Hollow Earth. And then also the fact that we just like right around that same time, all the countries signed a pact and it was like no one can ever go there ever again. What's that all about? You know? Yeah. I think some of the flat earth stuff where it's like, oh, I zoomed out and I can still see there's no curvature. I think that can be debunked pretty easily. I've seen some stuff that debunks that. But the whole thing with like the NASA thing with the Van Allen belts and like, we just lost all the technology on how to go to the moon.
Yeah.
And now we're going to Mars, but we won't go back to the moon. It's like, dude, the moon's 280,000 miles away. Go to the moon. Then if you're going to go to the moon, we're like, oh no, we're going to try for the next 30 years to get to Mars. That seems all kind of weird to me. I know it's getting off of flat earth, but that goes to the fact of people who believe flat earth also believe the firmament is over it. And we've never even really went into space.
Yeah.
That it's all been faked. I don't know. That's a hard one for me to get on board with, but
me
it's like,
too. Yeah.
So do we all, yeah.
I don't know. Maybe I've been indoctrinated with,
we all with been, round, we're all globists.
Spherical earth videos, but, yeah, that's a hard, my friend had put that on Facebook. I literally thought he was joking. Like I thought, and then he's like, no, I'm dead serious. And I watched videos on it. And like you said, there's some interesting things, but I don't know. So I can't do it.
Here's the thing for me really quick before you jump in, Keith, is in this area, I have not done enough study, looked at enough stuff, and I'm not nearly smart enough to explain all the gravitational stuff and the earth spinning and going through space and how tides work. I'm like, dude, I don't even know.
Yeah.
I could have grown up in flat earth and then we go, I can't believe in globe. I'm like that dumb about kind of how that works. That's where I'm at on that. What do you think, Keith?
Well, you mentioned the moon, so I'll just throw it out there. The conspiracy theory that none of us mentioned was have we or have we not really been to the moon? If we truly did go to the moon, we have photographs of the earth from the moon, which show that the understanding of the round globe earth is true if those photographs are real,
right? So if you believe in flat earth, you also have to believe we didn't go to the moon then.
That was my next point. Those go hand in hand. I do have issues with the moon landing. My biggest issue is kind of what you said earlier about the phone call on 9/11. How is it that we get crystal clear phone call with the president from the moon, but I can't call somebody from my house? It's like
Keith's over here. Keith isn't doing conspiracy theories. He's like working out new bits right now is what he's doing with us.
And what about the moon?
I do love the fact that what was it? Alan, the second guy, who was it? It was Buzz Aldrin punched the guy. Because the guy said he never went to the moon and he punched him. And I was like, even if he never went to the moon, I still respect him. I respect a man who can throw hands.
Norm MacDonald has a great bit about that too, about astronauts. He's like 12 men have walked on the moon. And he's like, who's walked on the moon? He goes, you got Buzz Aldrin. You've got Neil Armstrong. He goes, and then you don't even know the third guy.
No.
He goes, you know, the 10th guy that walked on the moon's like, what the heck do I got to do around here to get famous? He goes, meanwhile, we know all the Kardashians, you know, he's like the 10th guy to walk on the moon. We're like, yeah, we don't know who that is.
And the one guy who didn't get out of the capsule, he had to stay in the whole time. He's on the moon. He's 6 feet away from making history. And he's like, nope, you don't get to get out.
No. Like, I'm eating a snack right now. I'm good.
We didn't bring enough suits for you. It's like,
Well, he was probably thinking, I'm on the moon. People will remember me. No, you got to step on it. And then even then, they don't even remember the 12 people. I think with the moon conspiracy, really quick, I think that has been given some credence because I think there was some PR work being done by the government in the space race. I think we probably went to the moon, but there's definitely edited photos and we spruced up some stuff because we wanted to get out there to the Soviets that, hey, we're there and look how great it looks. So I think there's some truth in it that we probably toyed around with some of the images. We probably said some stuff. We exaggerated some stuff that we did there. But man, that would be such a massive conspiracy to never.
Well, and NASA funnels millions and millions of dollars a year. So, I mean, there would be motive for that if it wasn't.
But then again, you know, a few years ago when they said, Ellen DeGeneres is a paid CIA agent and she's there to talk about, you know, keep everyone's fears calmed about wars and spying and stuff like that. I was like, oh, well, geez, I never saw that coming. But now that's died. Who knows, dude?
Oh, that's I've never heard of that.
Oh, yeah. You remember when she did the whole, she had someone on and did like a 45-minute thing on the Las Vegas shooting and she had like a pointer and everyone's like, why is this on Ellen? And then like 6 months later, the CIA released some paperwork. So, well, we have paid people in Hollywood that put us in a good light. Wow. Like the producer of the Jack Ryan series on Prime with the guy from The Office. I can't remember his name. They have like, what's that?
Jim.
Yeah. Like, so the director's on the payroll. So he's paid to kind of write the CIA. They're always the hero in all their movies, right?
Yeah, I know the CIA has funded movies before.
Yeah, and so Ellen DeGeneres is a paid entertainment kind of operative. She's not like doing spy missions, but she's there to like...
She's an influencer.
Influencer within that space to always put them in a good light.
People during COVID, they were paying influencers to push the COVID vaccine.
Yeah, so there's crazy stuff out there where I would never think is real. And then you find out and you go, oh my gosh, there's some weird, crazy stuff going on in the background. So Flat Earth was yours. What was yours again? Birds aren't real. Oh man, Flat Earth was mine too. So now I don't know. Another crazy one that I can't get on board with is I'm trying to think of them. I don't know. I mean, the Operation Fishbowl where we nuked a bunch of stuff in the sky, that's actually real. And we did it over Hawaii, but we were like, let's do a little South Hawaii so people don't get flash blindness. That was the actual reason. They were like, go a little farther south. So if they look at it, they just get blind for like a couple minutes and not for days. Oh, it's in the actual paperwork. So they set off a bunch of nukes. But I'm thinking of that because that's Flat Earth. Flat Earth people go, because basically what happened was is they were going to set them off in space. They got to a certain level and just blew up.
Oh, really?
And then when the particles spread out, it went into like a dome and they couldn't figure out why. And all the Flat Earth people go, see, can't get past the firmament.
Yeah.
I think that was called Operation Fishbowl. If you wanted to, if anyone listening,
got a lot of operations going on.
A lot of operations.
I just think about the game Operation. I don't know.
That's exactly what I thought when I said that.
Dude, that game was awesome when you were a kid. I tell you what, you want to talk about adrenaline and being under pressure is being a little 7-year-old, your hand shaking like this for the win. And you're like, if I could just get this bone out without touching, because that buzz seems so loud. Yeah. Did it give you a physical vibration too? Or no, it was just a buzz.
It might have felt like that because it was so rough.
Yeah.
It lit up his nose. That's what it was.
Yeah.
All right, so let's wrap this up. So we had a bunch of different crazy conspiracies that we talked about. Some of them could be some truth too. Are there any ones out there right now that's a conspiracy theory that you 100% believe? Like, I don't know how to explain it. It's technically a conspiracy theory, but I'm on board with it. Is there any of those, or are we all just kind of like, well, it could be, I need some more information? You know what I mean? Like, that's kind of how I approach. I'm pessimistic or a realist, I would say, naturally. But
I don't think that they're, as far as the jabby jab, I don't think they're fully going into some of the side effects of that. I don't know if they're doing enough studies on things that potentially could be caused by that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because some probably people on the left would say, well, that's a conspiracy theory that you think that they're hiding information anything. Or something.
Yeah.
No, I think there's some, I mean, we just don't have enough time or enough people to test it on, basically. We were the test run. What do you think, Keith? Is there any active conspiracy theories out there that you go, I'm on board with them?
Yeah, I think January 6th, all the stuff surrounding January 6th after the election, I think I think people were let into those buildings. I think it was purposeful to make Republicans look like they were trying to take over the United States. I honestly think the entire thing is overblown. And when I hear people say, oh, this was an attempted insurrection, I think it's ridiculous. So,
especially with the new videos that just got released just a few days ago.
Yeah, that's
why there's a couple guys that had full Trump gear on and they're flashing their badges to get through, and then they're letting people in. Yeah, no, that's a good one.
And it's ironic that Tucker Carlson got fired when he was going to talk about that.
Yeah, release it. I think that's another one, Keith, to your point, like never let a good crisis go to waste, right? Like the Dems go, look at these are mostly Trump guys and they're in the Republican Party. Let's use this to, you know.
When I hear somebody like Bill Maher talking about how scary and dangerous it was on January 6th and how this was a real, I'm like, you know, Bill Maher says some things that I actually like sometimes, but that just shows that even, I mean, it's out of there. It's out there.
Yeah. All right, cool. So what's the final word, do you think, Keith? I'm going to throw this to you since you're the pastor in the room. Well, how should Christians view conspiracy theory? Should we dabble in them? Should we ignore them completely? Should we look at them and read them through a certain worldview lens? Is it okay to, you know, kind of look at them as a believer? Like, what do you think?
I think that's that's a very good question, because I have had in my own life in ministry had to deal with people who they find so much fascination in conspiracy theories that they can't pull themselves out of that to have any real engagement with their brothers and sisters in Christ, because that's all they want to talk about. That's all they want to do. That's all they want to see is this mass conspiracy around them. And I try to say, but wait a minute, is God not still sovereign? Is God still not sovereign in the midst of this craziness? And can we not find some comfort and peace in his will that's being worked out, even in the midst of all these people who are trying to thwart his will through their foolish, you know, the Bible says that he sits on his throne and laughs. And so can't we just, like we've been laughing a lot today, can't we sit back for a moment and just laugh and say, God's got this, God's going to handle this. And even if there is a grand conspiracy to make sure that we never have a righteous election in our nation again, can't we at least say that whoever's in charge is there by the divine appointment of God to either bring our good or our judgment, because he is working out his will throughout the world. So that's what I would say as a pastor. We got to trust the Lord even in the midst of crisis and crazy.
Yeah. Amen, dude. That's a good bow tie right there. Keith, tell everyone where they can find you.
Well, I live at I'm sorry. That's a good home address. Right now,
I'll tell you, with all those clothes in the background, I kind of want to come hang out, dude. It looks like a cool hangout place.
This is my Theo shed. I built a shed into a studio, and this is it. But no, I'm at Your Calvinist on Twitter. You can find all my videos at CalvinistPodcast.com. If you want to email me a question that I will address on my show, you can email it to CalvinistPodcast@gmail.com.
Awesome. Johnny, you want to tell anyone where you got any social medias where you hang out or discuss stuff or no?
No.
No.
Here with Greg.
All right, cool. Guys, thanks so much for sitting down and doing this. This was fun. I think I learned a lot too. And I don't know, man. Just remember too that most of your the people who believe in all the conspiracy theories are dispensationalists usually. So just remember. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. Andrew Rappaport, we're talking about you. No. I say that because Keith's on, which actually I just uploaded that to the Fight Laugh Feast Network, and I got so many comments on that. They're like, dude, we love that episode with you and Andrew and Keith. And one guy messaged me and he's like, I really like this Keith guy. I've never heard of him. I said, you got to go check him out. So I sent someone your way too off that episode. But yeah, guys, thanks so much for listening. And I know I just mentioned Fight Laugh Feast, but I am now on the Fight Laugh Feast Network, invited on last week. We're working on getting everything uploaded to Pub TV, the app for the video and the audio. But you can find us in the Fight Laugh Feast feed anywhere you get podcasts. But of course, you can get this podcast anywhere you get podcasts too. So we're going to be doing some more stuff with some of those guys as we move forward too, since they'll be on our network with about 8 or 9 other shows. But other than that, nothing really changes. I'm going to pick out who I want to be on, talk what we want to talk about, have fun stuff like this, like conspiracy theories, and then who knows, get into learned theological discussions with scholars and pastors and things like that. So it'll still be the same array of weird, crazy stuff that we do here on the podcast, but just a little bit different with what network we're on and who it's getting pushed out to. Some additional people will get to hear the podcast as well, being on that network. So guys, thanks so much for hanging out with us for the hour and a half. Keith, thanks so much for being on.
Yes, sir. Glad to do it.
I love that he gave a salute on an audio podcast as if and didn't say anything for 5 seconds.
I do video all the time, so that's me. Yeah, I'll be on the lookout for my debate upcoming with Spencer Smith on the rapture before the tribulation. So that's coming in December.
Yeah, and then after that, in February, I'm going to see you down in Tullahoma, where you're going to be speaking at the Why Calvinism podcast with Jeffrey Rice. And I'm advertising for that right now. So if you listen to this podcast, you already heard the advertisement at the top of the show, but, check Keith out there, 'cause he's going to be recording those as well too. And I know you're going to bring the fire just like you did last year. I'm excited to see you over there.
You too, brother.
John, thanks for coming in and hanging out with us.
You're welcome.
Dude, I love that you came prepared. You got the laptop. We're looking stuff up. We're talking stuff. But anytime you want to come back to in the studio, John, you know you're welcome. Guys, remember, the chief end of man is to glorify God, enjoy him forever. God bless. Be sure to check us out at dmwpodcast.com, where you can purchase the best and snarkiest merch on the internet, support the show, and leave us a review or message. Dead Men Walking can be found on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube at Dead Men Walking Podcast, and on Twitter X at Real DMW Podcast. The Dead Men Walking Podcast is part of the Fight Laugh Feast Network. For exclusive show content, be sure to download the PubDV app and become a member. If you're a business that needs to reach hundreds of thousands of potential customers in your demographic, podcast advertising might be for you. Send all inquiries to deadmenwalkingpodcast@gmail.com.
None your biscuits.